This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 185, The Amazing Spider-Man 2 from 2014. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, we're continuing our watch through with The Amazing Spider-Man. Now we're up to part two. How long has it been since you've seen the sequel?
I haven't watched it since 2015. Maybe 2016. I watched this when it came out, reviewed it. First, fun fact, like I said, first YouTube video I ever did. Then, like 2 years later, I watched it again, and I haven't watched it since. So I would say 6 years at least.
Yeah, again, like I've been saying, I watched this on the watch through for that new No Way Home movie. So this is my third time, I guess.
Okay.
Not that much I've seen it, but I'm actually dying to go into this movie. There's a lot of cool stuff in this movie I want to break down and talk about. But with that said, let's just tap a little bit on the box office because Nate is a numbers guy. And I looked at some box office numbers between one and two. You're going to be really shocked. So you ready for this?
Yes, yes, I'm ready.
All right, so here we go. The first one domestically made $262 million, right? Okay. The second one made $202 domestically.
Less
by $60 million. Then international, it made $495 million on the first film. Mm-hmm. The new movie, it made $506 million. Yeah, it made more.
If my quick math is correct, I think the total should be less.
It should be less. Yeah, here we go. Worldwide total for the first movie, The Amazing Spider-Man from 2012, was $757 million. The sequel, which is Amazing Spider-Man 2 from 2014, made $708 million. That is a loss of $50 million.
Yeah, $50 million less.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, you know what? I mean, surprising, but also not surprising. Surprising and not surprising. typically the sequels tend to go up. I know the original Spider-Man trilogy, I believe each one made more than the one before. I'm pretty sure. But this one, yeah, I mean, we're going to get into it in a moment. It's interesting, but it's not like insanely crazy to me that it made less.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very shocked, though, because in a sequel, especially a superhero sequel, it should shoot up by 100 plus million from the first. Right? Like a little bit closer to that. But anyway.
At least that's even. Not like less by 50 million, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, if you want to know the budget, it was 91 million. So it made that money back. So on the sequel. All right. With that said, let's check out what the critics and the audience have to say about this movie with the Rotten Tomato scores. Nate.
All right. What are they saying? Well, they're saying mixed emotions. This one has a... critically, this one is sitting at a 51%. So... not great. The first one had a 77 or something like that. Right. So lower, 51%. Audiences were just fresh as far as Rotten Tomatoes is concerned with a 64%. So not as well received as The Amazing Spider-Man 1. Yeah, so the reviews were kind of down across the board, but the critics, it took quite a bigger hit than the audiences.
Well, you know, I'm looking at these numbers, but you know what I see, though? I kind of see it balanced. Right. It's not like a shift of 20 to like 60. You know what I mean? Like a 40% drop or whatever you want to call it mathematical wise. But I look at it as a balance, 57 to 64. That's like a balance.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like it looks balanced to me. But again, we throw those scores out and we're going to give you guys now our honest opinion on this movie review. So with that said, let's start it off again with the lead character, Andrew Garfield, as Peter Parker in Spider-Man. Nate.
All right, now there's a lot of things in this. So just a fun. This is going to be an interesting review because, like I told Alex, the first time I watched this, I really liked it. I gave it a positive review. You go Netflix movie reviews on YouTube. You can see my review; it's still there. It's 8 years old at this point, but I liked it. The second time I watched it, I hated it. Like I didn't like it at all. I'm like, what happened? So this was a fun rewatch to see where I kind of land at this point in my life, having not seen it in forever. Now, lead, I think. One of the things that carried over from the first movie that didn't take any sort of dip for me was Andrew Garfield. I still think he's great in this movie. He's not the problem. His acting is still good. His chemistry with Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy is, I would say, even better in this movie than it was in the first movie. I know in this, at this point in real life, they had started dating. Maybe that helps. I don't know, but I felt it more this movie, and the story, the actual story of them helps. I thought that was great. He's still, his relationship with Aunt May is still really good. I love the scene where she finds him in the room and she's like, "You're my boy." You know, all that's really cute. And they did a good job. Like, I like that dynamic. The only thing I don't like character, well, I'll save it for story. I think he was fantastic. I think he was still really good as Spider-Man. And I think he's really good as Peter Parker. Now, in this one, for some reason, more than the last one, he looks like real old, too older to be like even just graduating high school. But that's okay. We'll give it the pass. One thing. Why do these original movies, the first series and this one, maybe you can answer this. You probably can't, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Why do they always want to get Peter Parker out of high school? Is it just because he's an older actor every time and it's like he can't play high school for that long? Because in the first series, he's only in high school for the first movie.
Yeah.
In this one, he graduates at the very beginning of the movie. So again, no longer in high school. It's like that is a high school character. And they couldn't even get a trilogy or two full movies of him in high school. I think it's weird. I'm going to give him a 5 still, but I don't understand why they're always so eager to like get him out of school.
I don't know. To be honest, you could be right that all the actors are getting older, so it wouldn't make sense. And I mean, doesn't Tom Holland's characters also graduate by the second movie?
No, the third. He's in high school all three of his movies.
But you know what? I mean, to be really honest with you. Yeah, he did. But to be honest with you, Tom Holland looked way younger than Andrew Garfield.
He looks like he's still like 17 right now. So, yeah, that is true. It could be that. Yeah.
And the characters around him look younger, too. Zendella. I mean, I hope I'm saying her name right. And his best friend. They look young.
That's true. They do look like high schoolers more.
Yeah. So that could be it. I mean, you might be right with that. But so what did you give it? I'm sorry.
I gave him a 5. Yeah. I don't think he slipped from the first movie to this one.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to tell you, I'm jumping on board with you, man. I gave it a 5. He is excellent as Peter Parker / Spider-Man. I can't see why they not greenlight a third one. We're gonna, like I said, we're gonna break it down. Overall, I'll give more why I believe they should have gave a third one. But honestly, from Andrew Garfield's point of view, he was he was way better. And I'm gonna say right now, I'm on recording on audio and video. He is way better than Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man and Peter Parker. I loved his dynamic with Sally Fields. They are so perfect together. And I felt the emotions of that Aunt May with that Peter Parker over Tobey Maguire and the old lady. I don't know her name, but that old lady.
Rosemary Harris, I think, is the actress.
Yeah, I did not feel that passion of those characters there. In this one, I felt it. I don't know why. Gwen Stacy, Emma Stone. I just want to tap on these characters quick. I love her. I think she's way better. Not saying actress, but she's way better character-wise than Mary Jane. I did not like.
Better actress, too. She won an Oscar.
Oh, later. Okay. So then, you know what? Better actress. I'll just throw it out to the end. Yeah, better actress. You know what? Yeah. I love those three. They were great. And again, we got the Peter Parker's dad. That's more story, and I liked it. I loved it. It was felt very spy-y, and I loved it. I was like, this is really cool. But we'll talk about that toward the storyline. But yeah, overall, man, I felt every emotion with this. Even when they introduced Harry, right? Like, you felt that camaraderie between Harry and Peter. I'm not talking about Green Goblin. That's totally different. We'll talk about that. But in terms of the characters Harry and Peter, I felt the best friend. He's super rich relationship with his best friend. So like that, I liked more. We'll get to the alter ego right next. But other than that, look, I gave it a 5. You gave it a 5. Let's talk about it, baby. Main villain, we got Electro Jamie Foxx. And then, of course, we got Harry as the Green Goblin, because I don't know the actor.
Harry. Dane DeHaan is the actor. There you go.
Okay.
He sounds exactly like Keanu Reeves when he talks.
He does. I was going to say that.
His voice sounds exactly like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, he does.
I'm glad we gave some 5s out early, because it's coming crashing down quite a bit.
Oh.
This was one of the issues with the second time I watched it. They immediately went to the too many villains thing. Like, they did it in the second movie. They didn't even wait till the third, at least like Raimi did. Raimi waited for the third one to have too many villains. They went right to, they did not need 2 villains in this movie. Now, let's do one by one really quick. Electro, Jamie Foxx. I like Jamie Foxx. I think he's a good actor. I like watching him in movies. I think he's good in comedy. I think he's good in action. I think he's good in drama. I think he's a good actor. Don't hate the casting. I like the casting. I hate the portrayal of this Max Dylan guy. He's a dork nerd worker at Oscorp who is like a total doofus. And the stuff that drives him to villainy, it is so stupid. It's stupid. Like, you didn't see me. You can't see me. Oh, you if you just say, I see you, I need your help, he'll be friends with you. That's it. Cause Dane DeHaan's getting all beat up. He's like, I need you. He's like, you need me? He just turns into electricity and he can like zoom all around. Like, give me a break. It's a horrible motive. You know, I don't like the motive. Do I like how he got his powers? Mix. Yes and no. I like that he got electrocuted by the stuff, you know, like
electric eels.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, not the eels. Like the conductor thing, and then he fall in.
Yeah.
I hate the eels part where they're like, okay, they're like going on him, and I'm like, oh, come on. I get it, it's a comic book movie, but I don't like it. And then once he is Electro, I like his design. It's different than the comics, but I'm okay with it. The blue, you know, like it was cool. I thought it was cool. Until he hooks up with Harry and he shows up with that suit. This magic suit that he all of a sudden got that has a little lightning bolt on it. I'm like, when did they make this? Who sewed this? Who made this thing? Like, we need this suit that has a lightning on it. Get it? Because he's electricity. And then he has a little thing on his head that shows how much power he has. And oh my God. I mean, this is horrible. Like, it doesn't make sense why that's there.
Yeah.
He can't see it. So who needs to know if he's overpowered besides the audience? You know, it's just there for there to be a scene later where he goes, overpowered, and blows up. Like, oh my God. So,
overload.
Yeah, I do not like the portrayal. I do not like the motivations. So not good. Then we get to Harry. Now, I love me some dreams, James Franco. If you guys remember, me and Alex both enjoyed us some James Franco, especially Spider-Man 3. James Franco was the man in that movie. He was great. You got Dane DeHaan in this. Good actor. I like him, but he right away is a total dick. Like, this Harry is not likable. He's a douche kid. I get it. His dad sent him away. He got issues with it. That's okay. I'm not saying that he can't be that because of his circumstances, but it's just not like you've made him the villain like immediately, and they could have built up to it better is my point. Like, if he was, yes, he did have the friendship with Andrew Garfield, but you know, everything after, like, immediately he's, oh, I gotta save some stuff for story. Anyway, I didn't really like it. And then when he turns into, I think they was called New Goblin, was like the term they were using. Oh my gosh. I mean, you want to talk about a horrible design. This guy gets really disgusting and sharp teeth. Then his hair just magically stands up on end like it's full of gel. He looks horrible. I don't like it. I like the mask better. Like Willem Dafoe's like goblin mask. Yeah. Like, put on a mask. This is horrible. I like the glider in this. I think it looks cool. I like the little gadgets. They're cool. The suit looks cool. But like him physically, stupid. And then his motivation, I guess, is more than Electro's. But he's really the secondary villain. He only comes up in the third act for like literally for one scene. He's the goblin. I gave him a 2. I think the villains are bad. I don't like them. And I think that hurts this movie quite a bit.
Yeah. You know, I'm not in the 2 boat. I gave it a 3. I enjoyed, we're going to laugh here. I enjoy Electro, but this is the reason why.
Yeah.
He's such a comic book character, like comic book character. Like, he gets his powers just like a comic, like just destiny of him falling into a tank of electricity, eels, and he's getting bit. I don't like him blue. It looked so weird. It did not make sense to me. Like, why is he blue? I guess it's because of electricity, but I'm like, it could be any color. It could have been green or yellow for all we care.
Well, he was yellow in the comics. Yeah, he is that, like green and yellow in the comics.
Yeah, so it didn't make sense to me, so I was just like, whatever. But I liked that storyline. I agree with you. Jamie Foxx as a human was so nerdy, and it reminded me when he went into the house. I swear to God, I thought when I started to see that, and you saw the Spider-Man shit on the wall, I thought we were going to get Smash Mouth. That song, hey, na na, boss it, you cha, in your dreams, you want to kill. You know what I mean? From Batman Begins, Batman Forever. Oh, remember that when Jim Carrey goes in?
Thank God they didn't. I would have turned it off. I'll turn it off.
But you remember that song when he goes into his lair, and then you see the Riddler stuff, and then he's talking to the mannequin in the glass, and all you hear is that song. I thought of that scene for some reason. That stupid song popped up, and I was just like, and he's talking to him. He's like, Spider-Man's my friend. He's gonna know it's my birthday.
He said my name. He said he needs me. Give me a break. You idiot. Said,
like, that was so atrocious. But I did like the when he became a villain. I was like, okay, I liked it. It was cool. It is what it is. I can't nitpick as much because I enjoyed that character way better than Sandman and Venom from Spider-Man 3. Like, I'd rather see this Electro than those terrible characters.
I hated
over
them
there.
Too, so I don't know. They're
I
all
mean,
the same,
I didn't like
them
either.
They're all in the same bucket.
No, but I thought this one was more. I thought he was more of a villain than those characters anyway.
Fair.
But anyway, Harry, I don't know what the fuck they did with this dude. This dude looked like a goblin. Like, I understand they're trying to make him into a goblin villain. Literally. Like, he looked like a goblin. Literally. The shit did not work. That design was, like, so horrible. Like, I was like, who thought of this shit? Like, he just looked so horrible. It reminded me, there was one point, I swear to God, that he looked like Robert Williams in Hook. With the
yeah, with his hair.
Yeah, he looked like Peter Pan when he was younger. And I was like, what is this crap? I did not like it. For some reason, this dude's disease went super fast, like elevated super, like he was dying in 2 seconds.
I'm glad you mentioned it because I had notes on that for my storyline part because that just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, I will elaborate more on story, but I just saying like he had a disease that magically triggered when he see Peter Parker.
And no, it triggered as soon as he found out he had it. His dad's like, "You got a disease." He said, "Oh, I'm sick." Right away.
Yeah, he was like, and then the Peter Parker, like he figured out Peter Parker was Spider-Man. That was just so bad. I was just like, this is weird. Like, it didn't work for me well with that situation. It did not work at all because then he noticed Gwen. Then he saw Spider-Man and then he went,
"You're Peter Parker because this is Gwen Stacy. There's no one else that it could be except you, Peter.
Like, you said no to give me your blood."
It wasn't Spider-Man that said no. It was you, it was Peter.
And if I'm going to die, I'm going to take away the one that you love. Oh, it was so weird. And he sounded just like Keanu Reeves. You're right. It was not working. Yeah, it did not work. Anyway, I gave it a 3 for both. I merged both on this one.
Each gonna, one a 1.
You gave each
equals 2. I did 1 plus 1.
I gave him 1.5 points each to give him the 3. But yeah, okay, let's get to
hey, so at least we go up a little bit from villains because I thought the action was pretty good. All right, I'll just put it here. I have a love-hate relationship with the Times Square scene with Electro because visually, I think it's super cool. Mm-hmm. I do like it. I like the even the scene where they're like running on the steps and it goes in slow motion and Spider-Man's like seeing who's about to touch the rail and like taking their hands off of it. And I love the whole scene as an action scene. I absolutely hate the music in that scene. Where it's like a voice going like, "He hates me. He doesn't like me. He wants to kill me. He is my enemy." It's like, what is this, bro? Like, go back and watch that scene and just close your eyes and just listen to the music. It's distracting. It's a voice of a guy saying like what Electro is thinking, and it's horrible. So I hate the music in that scene, but I like it visually. I think it's cool. I like the opening scene with the truck. I think it's fun. It's like lighthearted, but it adds like it gives us the Peter Parker humor. You know what I mean? And I like the last fight with Electro in the like electricity in the what is that called? The power grid. Yeah. I like that. I think it's cool. I mean, you know, that's how that would probably go. You're fighting a guy who's like pure electricity and can just zap around. You know, the slow motion in this movie worked for me. I thought it looked cool when they used it. They didn't overdo it. And when they did, it looked cool. That's my thing with slow motion. Don't do it too much. And when you do it, at least use it to like emphasize a cool part. And I think one thing Mark Webb did good with the action was that. Like when there was slow motion, it was like cool. So I like that scene. When the goblin shows up, yeah, he looks stupid, but I do like the scene in the clock at the end. I thought the action was good, not great. I'm still not going to give it a 5, but I give it a 4. I think it's really solid. I found it entertaining, the action. So it was good. Not the best, but very good.
You know, it's crazy. I gave it a 5. I was into I was into it. I was so into the action in this because it's like, it flowed for me. Like in this one, it felt like he graduated into Spider-Man. Like he knew his powers. He knew how to use it. And I loved it because there were scenes in the film that I loved that he lost his web shooters and he had to figure out, like, how the hell am I going to use, you know, I can't use my web shooters in certain scenes. He was down to 1 web shooter and he had to save everybody. I thought it was cool. To be honest with you, I thought it was like a cool thing. I wish they showed more of him switching out the cartridges because I felt like it was like an endless supply of cartridge. Like, he was just shooting them all over the place. But
yeah,
I loved it, man. You said the Times Square scene. I know that a lot of people are flacking it on it, but I loved it, dude. I thought it was good.
I thought it was good.
And I thought his portrayal of Spider-Man, I thought it was cool because he was just like, hey, Max, he goes, I know you. He goes, I saw you. I saved you. I told you I'll be there for you. Like, I thought that whole scene was cool until the guy shot him and he went, uh-oh.
He was just random dude shoots him and it's Spider-Man's fault. That's the kind of motivation things where I hate. It's like, clearly Spider-Man didn't shoot you, bro. Like, relax.
But again, I like that. I thought that whole thing was cool. Now, towards the ending when they're in the power plant, I thought that was all cool. I was like, you know what? I said, this scene is really awesome. The colors were popping on the 4K disc.
Yeah.
I put it on the 4K disc to see it, and it sounded great. It looked phenomenal. Once the Goblin showed up, I thought it was pretty cool. His designer was a piece of shit, but I thought him adding to the fight was actually pretty cool, and it worked because he got rid of Electro, and now he had to fight Green Goblin, and that's when we lost Gwen Stacy. And I was like, yo, that scene was actually pretty emotional, but it was good, though, because the buildup was crazy, though, because he took her all the way up to the top, and she was like, let me go. And he was like, okay. And all that Spider-Man-isms, I loved it. I thought it worked for me. I was like, you know what? That's cool. And then the Rhino scene at the end, I know it's corny, because Rhino in that suit, he looked horrible.
Yeah.
But I did like the lead-up to it, when they showed the little kid standing in front of him, and he put on the mask, and you saw the superhero music getting up, and I was like, oh, this is actually pretty emotional. Like, he was going to stand up for New York, and then all of a sudden, he was like, hey, man, he goes, thanks for saving the city, you know, helping me out and all that. He goes, go with your mom while I beat this guy. And then he got on top of the car, and then he grabbed the bullhorn. I thought it was awesome because he just threw the bullhorn in the back. So I thought that was cool. And another ending with a cool shot of him swinging the sewer to hit him. Like, that would be a poster that I would love to put over, like a wide panoramic style. I
think both of these movies ended with, like, really cool poster looking shots.
Like a comic book cover. Yeah, because he looked like he was going to rock him with that sewer cap. Yeah. He looked like he was going to rock him, man, hard. I gave the action a 5, man. I thought it was a top-notch sequence. All right, so you gave it a 3.
A 4.
You gave it a 3. I'm sorry, you gave it a 4. I gave it a 5. Storyline.
Coming back down. This is it. This thing is a roller coaster. This movie's a roller coaster because we're going up, and then we're going down, and we're going up. Now we're coming back down. Look, there's things I like in this movie, and there's things I really hate. Okay, things I like. Again, I like most of what happens with Peter Parker. You mentioned that you liked the thing with him and Harry, or you liked that. I didn't like it because it's weird. They haven't seen each other since they were like 10 years old or 11 years old. And then they see each other as 18 and they're like best friends again. Now, I had friends when I was 11 years old, when I was in elementary school. If I saw any of them way later in high school, we would not just be best friends again. Like, that's just, it's kind of weird to me, but that's just me. I'm looking it through my eyes. I'm like, I don't know. It didn't totally work for me. And again, I mean, but anyway, I like the Peter stuff besides that. I love the thing with him and Gwen. He was always seeing the dad, you know, everywhere he goes. He can't stop seeing the dad. He's like, I can't do it. They break up. And she's like, no, I break up with you, Peter. I break up with you. And then she calls him, and then they're hanging out. And like, I like all that. I was with it. I was with it. This was a better like breakup storyline than Peter and Mary Jane in Spider-Man 3, in my opinion. This was better because this felt more real. You know what I mean? Like, he wanted to be with her, but he was just felt too guilty. She really liked him. It wasn't so stupid or melodramatic. And then even that, after that, like, she calls him. They try to be friends. I like it. I dig it. Okay, that's good. I like her storyline, Gwen, too. I like, she gets a good, way more to do in this movie. She has her own, like, storyline, because not only does she have the relationship with Peter, she also is worried about going to England, you know? She might go to Oxford to go to school, and how that's going to affect their relationship. And, you know, she has to make decisions. I dug it. Her last scene where she, you know, where she dies, I thought was extremely well done. That's straight out the comic books, and it's extremely well done. And I'm surprised they went there, to be honest. I remember when the movie was coming out, I didn't read spoilers, but, like, people were, like, wondering if they were going to do it. Because in the trailer, there's a shot of her falling and then it kind of ends. And I honestly went, I'm like, they're not going to do that. They're not going to kill her. And then they did. I was like, that's take some balls. So that's good. Now, here's what I hate. A lot of other stuff. First of all, the scene, anytime they're in that Ravencroft Institute, I want to fast forward the movie. Mm. That crazy doctor who's like, oh, making all those crazy faces. And Electra's like, I'll show you who got the power. Yeah, that guy was awesome in Equalizer. And then in this, he's a goofy scientist guy. I'm like, oh my gosh, I hate this. I hated all the stuff with Harry and the dad and the board and Oscorp. It did not work for me. you know, he was never, he wasn't there. He shows up, knows how to do like business speak all of a sudden. You know what I mean? I just didn't like it. Then there's Felicia, which, by the way, this movie is full of loose ends. And that's why watching it now, it doesn't fully work for me, because she's Black Cat, or she was going to be Black Cat in the future movies. But so they set up this character, but like there's no payoff after this movie. Like, this is the last one. So it just feels kind of weird. Him like, oh, you all work for Felicia now. It's like they built her up a little bit, but it goes nowhere. It goes nowhere in this movie. The dad stuff. Now, I mentioned in the first movie, they set him up like it was going to be some crazy reveal. Yeah. And ultimately, the crazy reveal is that he used his own DNA with the spiders. And then that was it. There was nothing else beyond that. That was the super important thing he had to upload to the satellite, was that he used his own blood with the spiders. It's disappointing to me. I'm like, what is this? Should have been more, could have been more. And yeah, it's a mixed bag. And so because I like half and I don't like half, I split it right down the middle. I gave the storyline a 2.5. And here's the thing. This movie's like 20 minutes longer than the last movie, but I don't feel like it does as good storytelling as the first movie did. And the first one had less time. You know what I mean? So yeah, I don't really like the storyline overall in this one. A 2.5 for me.
When it comes to this movie, man, storyline, I gave it a 3.5. I thought it was, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, I liked it. And certain things I don't like, I'll just do it super quick. What I enjoyed, I loved the Gwen Stacy and him. Yeah. Very, you felt the relationship on, I loved him and his aunt. That was awesome. She took extra work to pay for his school and to pay for the house. So she didn't even tell him that. And she worked in a hospital. So it was actually pretty cool. And she knew he was Spider-Man, but did not want to tell him that she knew he was Spider-Man. Yeah, which is, I was like, okay, it is what it is. But I thought it was pretty cool. Now, Harry and him, I enjoyed that. And the reason why is Peter Parker never had friends. The only friend he had was a rich guy. So you kind of figured that he was going to lose touch with a rich person anyway. And it's not like they lost friendship. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't end in a bad way. Uncle Ben died. He came and supported him, but then his father threw him, you know, put him to the, you know, send him away from. So it wasn't his fault. I thought it was pretty cool. Now, the evil version's horrible, but it is. Yeah, it was just bad. My good stuff. I love the dad sequences. I love that opening sequence of the freaking fight in the plane going down just to get that important file to go up. I thought that whole thing, I'm a sucker for that stuff. Like, I don't know why. I thought it was cool. It felt very spy genre in terms of this Spider-Man movie. It felt like an action movie. Like, it just felt like that's what you're getting with this. Not a typical superhero movie. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty cool. And then he found out that his father put his DNA. Now you understand why Peter Parker was Spider-Man. Because he was like, he has his DNA. So when the Spider-Man bit him, he didn't get the bad effects. He got the good effects, where Harry became an ugly goblin when he put the DNA in him. Which Peter told him, I do not know how this is going to react. Yep. I thought it was cool. And then they closed it out with him and his father, like telling him whoever reads it, and which was going to, he knew it was going to be Peter. He was going to find out. So he was like talking to Peter.
I have a question for you. Doesn't that, well, for me it does, but maybe it doesn't for you, but doesn't that kind of take away from the mystique of Peter Parker randomly getting bitten by a spider and getting the powers? Like, it's over-explained to me. Like, oh, it's because it's his dad's DNA. Now he's the only one that could have ever been Spider-Man. It takes the randomness away to me.
It does take away the randomness, but I think for this storyline, I thought it was pretty cool, because it was a cool spin to the original. Like, I thought it was a pretty cool spin. Yeah. I agree with you. If it was Peter Parker the whole time and he has been, I mean, that means everyone that got bit by that spider would have became evil, because they would have looked ugly. But I agree with you. It takes away that randomness of like the comic book, but I think it worked for the film, because it felt very like, holy crap, like his father worked on this. And it was kind of destiny, right? Because he walked into, it's not like his father gave him the spider to get bit. He walked into the spot. He did not know, and then he got bit by it. So technically, it's kind of random, but you're right. It's not anyone that could get bit by this spider become Spider-Man. But yeah, I agree with you with it. I gave it the uniqueness.
Yeah,
I like the uniqueness of the story, which I was like, okay, that's a pretty cool story for the newer, modern version they want. Anyway. And I just didn't like the rest of the stuff. Anyway, with that said, I gave it 3.5. I thought there was a lot of positives with this, with the action and the storyline. It worked for me more than you did.
Yeah.
But I gave it a 3.5. You gave it a 2 overall.
2.5. 2.5. Overall, this you know what? It's like middle. It's middle for me. It's the same. I gave the overall the same as the storyline. I gave it a 2.5. Now, don't get me wrong. To me, this one is almost on. And I think my total score when we get to it, I think it's the same I gave Spider-Man 3. I don't remember. But they fall in the same league. Like, I can watch this movie. You know what I mean? There's just a lot that I don't like and some stuff I'm okay with. I don't think it's as bad as the rest of the world seems to think it is now. You know what I mean? But there's just too many things that while I'm watching and I'm like, ugh, like, I don't like that. I don't like that. That is stupid. The music. I hate the music in this movie. Like the musical choices. I hate that electro part. I really hate it. I hate when he's working on his stuff in his room and it's that stupid like pop song. That used to come on the radio all the time. Like, I will do it for you. For you. And I'm like, oh my god, I hate this song. But like, it just doesn't it's not cool. It wasn't that cool to me. But I hate that part. And it's little things, but it's like 20 little things across a 2.5 hour movie that's like bugs me. Overall, though, I like the end. Now, I do think this is another movie where you get an ending that you will get no payoff for, so it's dumb because they're trying to set up the Sinister Six. Yeah, the Rhino, you saw the vulture wings, you saw the Doc Ock, suit, and he's asking him, how many people do we want to get? And he's like, keep it small. And all of a sudden he's healed. Like, he's only a goblin for that 10 minutes. Then he gets beat up and then he's not a goblin anymore. And he's like, it comes and goes. And I'm like, bro, your dad was like 60 years old before he turned all nasty. You were 18 years old. You turned nasty right away. That's, to your point about how quick it happened. It was dumb. Like, why is he already turning green when this guy's in videos with Peter Parker's dad? And he's not green. He's just, regular. So it was weird. I don't get it. And also, what kind of disease is that it just magically shows up when you turn 18? It's like, when you turn 18, you're going to turn into a green goblin.
That means when he had sex with his mom, he was the goblin.
Exactly.
Right?
So she should have been a goblin too. I don't know. But Harry never has a mom. He's always dead. So anyway, it's half and half. I don't hate this movie, but I don't really like it that much. It does look great, visually. There's a lot of cool stuff, and the love story is good. But everything else is just so-so for me. So 2.5. I couldn't give it higher.
I'm going to be the one, man. I'm going to be the one. I love this movie, man. I thought it was good. I really dug this. I'm going to be honest. This movie was way better, and I'll say it right now, way better than Spider-Man 3. By every form and factor, from actors to storyline to action sequences to two villains instead of three. One less villain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I gave it a 4.5. I really enjoyed this. And I think what worked for me in terms of the entire package, I love the tone of the movie. It felt like a DC comic come to life to me. I liked it. I thought the realism version of Spider-Man worked for me instead of that comic booky.
But didn't this one feel way more comic booky than Amazing Spider-Man 1? It's way more colorful.
It did.
It's way lighter.
It did.
It's weird. Yeah. The tone was a little different.
But I mean, like, in terms of the package, I felt like it felt very more modern version of a real life Spider-Man. And I liked it. I thought it was great. I thought it was good. And I dug it. And I think I love... So far, we're up to 2. But I love Andrew Garfield way better as Peter Parker and Spider-Man. And like I was saying before, they should have greenlighted a part 3 because I think he would have been awesome just to finish off the trilogy, give him a third one, and it would have been awesome. Him versus the Sinister Six, like you said, would have been a perfect ending to that whole trilogy and the arc. But again,
and you had, like I said, you had Felicia introduced. She was going to be Black Cat. Yeah. Probably would have worked with him. She was always an anti-hero type. A Catwoman type. She probably would have worked with him. And Shailene Woodley was in this movie as Mary Jane, and they cut all her scenes. So they did introduce the character, and Shailene Woodley at the time especially was like a real up-and-comer, actress. Would have been interesting. I like her better than Kirsten Dunst too, but they cut all her scenes, so there was a lot of potential. But also I think they were trying to go too big, too fast also at the same time,
Yeah. I mean, after the success of one, I don't understand why. But anyway, it is what it is. I gave it a 4.5. You gave it a 3?
2.5.
Oh, 2.5. Yeah. That's a big 2-point drop. But that said, what's your total points?
16 out of a 25, which is
not bad.
Not that low. No, it's not bad. I don't think the movie's horrible. I just have a lot of problems with it. But it's still a mostly fun watch. Good, solid action. Andrew, I agree. Where I do agree with you is I always liked Andrew Garfield better than Tobey Maguire. And I get a lot of crap for my age group. I'm supposed to love Tobey Maguire because he was the first one. And he was the one when I grew up. Freak that. I don't care if he was the one when I grew up. Andrew Garfield's better. He's better.
Yeah.
And he was, well, we haven't gotten to it yet, but he was better in No Way Home, too. So suck on that. So anyway, yeah, I like Andrew Garfield better. So I agree with you. 16 out of 25.
Yeah, look, for me, it's a 21 out of a 25. I really dig this movie, and I agree with you. I do not understand why a lot of people are giving this movie a lot of flack. It is better than Green Lantern. Better than Wonder Woman 84.
This is better than Morbius. It came out 10 years ago.
Yeah, honestly, there's a lot of superhero movies that this movie surpasses those pieces of shit that we paid for to watch. So I don't want to hear nothing. And I agree with you. I will back you on this. Andrew Garfield is a way better Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire. But again, different style of scripts. But
people have nostalgia
care.
For Tobey. That's why.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, it is what it is. But that's it. 21 for me, 16 for you. What is coming up next on the podcast?
Oh, baby. You know, we're moving on. We're done with Andrew Garfield. He only got two. He's the shortest tenured Spider-Man. Mm. I mean, technically, Tom Holland's the most because he was also in Avengers movies and Civil War. And he's played him like seven times or something. But our next solo Spider-Man movie is going to be Spider-Man Homecoming. So we're getting into the Tom Holland MCU. This is the MCU Spider-Man. So we're going to be doing that. And of course, next week. Or the next episode, I should say. Cruising with Tom. We got Oblivion, which I think was the first time watch for you.
Yes. It was the first
time watch for you. So we're going to do a little bit of Oblivion. So keep an ear and an eye out for that as well.
Yeah, for those of you out there that want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Netflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Netflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the video version of the podcast, or head to our official website at www.geeksandflicks.com. There you have the podcast, audio, video at the same time for your favorite episodes. You got merch for the action movie guys and Geeks and Flicks. And of course, the Patreon. If you want to join the Patreon and watch the behind the scenes of your favorite podcast, you could do so by joining our patreon.com/geeksandflicks. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.